In the 16th chapter of the gospel, of the prophecy of Ezekiel, Ezekiel also paints a picture of our condition before God. It also describes what God did. And I'd just like to look at that, just read those verses, and continue the same theme that Brother Timothy was addressing. He spoke about our condition before God as described by Paul in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. And Ezekiel is going to do the same thing in a different way, but it draws a picture of us of our true condition before God. And it says in verse 16, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite. And as far as thy nativity in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. Now and I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day of thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. I have called thee to multiply at the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxed great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ointments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain upon thy neck. And I put jewels in thy forehead, and earrings in thine ear, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen, and silk and broidered work. Thou did eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast excellent, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my commonness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. So that describes what Brother Timothy has been speaking to us about our condition before God, and how we were helpless to do anything for our condition and deliver ourselves before God, and God intervened in our behalf. In fact, when it comes to our salvation, the Bible says vain is the help of men. We're helpless or powerless to alter our state before God. But with us, it's impossible. All things are possible with God. And salvation was possible as well, and he's the one that provided it for us. Now, in the third chapter of the book of Romans, verse 21, it says, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But now the righteousness of God. You know, I delight in many places in the Bible where it draws such a dark picture. Paints such a terrible scene describing us. And then it says, but God. It does that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But in verse 1 it says, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. For in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation times past in the lust of our flesh. Now he's talking about you. He also puts himself in there as well. Among them also, we all had our conversation times past, and the lust of our flesh, and the lust of our eye, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the eye, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But then he says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he goes on down in verse 11 of that same chapter, and he says, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, well, I'll have to read it, since my mind just suddenly went blank. That happens when you get to be as old as I am. Wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Pretty bad condition. But it says in the next verse, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So God was not hindered by our condition. Our condition just exalted the power and the glory of God to intervene in our behalf. But in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God. Now, this is not the holiness of God he's referring to. For if God could have imputed his holiness to us, his Son would not have had to come. But the righteousness he has reference to is his Son. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God that is sent in order to provide salvation for us. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, that is, God's Son is manifest. And it was the Son of God that provided a righteousness for us, whereby we are justified before God. We have a legal standing before God. But you recognize the fact that even though, as Brother Timothy said, our sins have been imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, although his righteousness has been given to us, and that is our standing before God, that's not the way I see myself. I see myself a defiled, unclean sinner. I do not see myself as righteous. I see myself often failing. So how do you answer this problem? If God says, this is the way it is, and I'm not that way, how do I deal with that? Well, I think God's provided a way. It is true that our sins have been imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have been taken out of the way by the Son of God into that land of forgetfulness to be remembered against us no more. It is also true that the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to us, that the Son of God obeyed every law to a jot and a tittle. The Bible said that not one jot or tittle will pass from the law until all are fulfilled. And the only person that has ever fulfilled the law is the Son of God. He's the only one. Well, if the law is not going to pass away until it's all fulfilled, Jesus Christ must have fulfilled it. And he did. But didn't he fulfill it for himself? You know, Jesus Christ himself is a lawgiver. And the Bible said that he put himself under the law, not for himself. Jesus Christ didn't need a law to rule his life. His holy nature ruled him. But he put himself under the law in order that he might obey it for us. When the fullness of time, in Galatians it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He was placed under the law. Though he was the lawgiver, and though he was the God of heaven, he placed himself under the law and the rigors of the law and obeyed it for us. We have an active righteousness that satisfies the claim of God's divine justice concerning the law. Well, how am I going to deal with that? If I see myself as a sinner, I see that I don't have the righteousness that God requires in myself. How am I going to deal with that? I believe God's found a way for His child to deal with that. And it's called justification by faith. We're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Christ has been imputed to our account. That's how we're justified. But how do I enter into that? How do I embrace that for myself? How do I claim that is mine? My faith adds nothing to God, to the justification that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. One's faith adds nothing to that. But God has given us faith in order that we might lay hold of and embrace the righteousness of God whereby we're justified before God. We embrace it for our own. And we have a legal right. We have a right to do so. We're not claim jumpers when we claim the righteousness of God. You know, back in the old days, when they discovered gold in California, there was a lot of claim jumpers. There were a lot of people claiming rights to gold mines or where gold was, the land where gold was, that they didn't have a right to it. Beloved, that all those who have faith that has been given to them by God have a right to stake their claim that this righteousness is mine. In the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, in verse 1 it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Beloved, this is when you lay down your opposition to God. You know, at the end of World War II, I read this, but at the end of World War II, MacArthur, on the battleship Missouri, welcomed a delegation from Japan. And that delegation from Japan didn't bring a document laying down the rules for surrender. They came to accept the rules of the document of surrender that MacArthur brought from America. So what am I saying? We have peace with God when we accept God's rules for surrender. We do. We ask them to have peace with God. Until then, we're still struggling to find acceptance with God. But we accept God's rules. But we recognize that God is the one that's conquered. And I accept God's rules for surrender. I have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, we don't come to God and bring conditions of surrender. I'll do it, Father, so and so. But we don't bring our terms to the table. We accept the terms that God has laid. And they're laid in the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, this is how you accept it in my sight. It's through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we accept that by faith. And it says we have peace with God. When we do that, we have peace with God. The matter's settled. We have surrendered to God. We accept the terms that God Himself has made. And then we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of religions out there today that think that they're going to come to God based upon the terms of their religion. But they're mistaken. The only term that's acceptable by God is His Son, Jesus Christ. And we must come that way. And when we have peace with God, we accept those terms that God has made. And oh, what a blessing it is when you surrender. Oh, what a blessing it is when by the eye of faith you see what God has done for you through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you embrace that for yourself. it is said in the book of John, chapter 1, that Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power. He gave them authority to become sons of God, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but of God. Those who have the authority, they have the right, they have the privilege to lay claim to the fact that I'm a son of God, and those that are born of God. And beloved, as one born of God, we have faith as a gift from God. And we have, by faith, able to embrace what God has done and say, this is mine. This is what God has done for me. And to accept that. What a great blessing it is. But then he goes on to say in Romans 5, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Being justified by faith, accepting the terms which God himself had made, we have peace with God, but we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I don't know what's going on in the world. I really don't. I don't see God's plan for the world. In fact, I'm troubled by the things that's happening in Zion. I don't understand. Beloved, but I trust God. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about when we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, brought to the knowledge of Him, not just that Christ is the Son of God, but to know Him. To know Him as the God-man that was raised to the right hand of the Father in heaven. And all things were put under His feet, and He was made head over all things to the church. I don't know what's going on. I told someone tonight, and I used the illustration this morning, that we look at God's work from the bottom side. I used the illustration that, you know, these sisters that, men too, I guess, that do needlework, they have a design, they're putting on this piece of cloth, and they're using a needle and thread and all different colors of thread. And you can see the design and what's being accomplished as you look at it from the top. And when it's all finished, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of artwork. But you turn that cloth over on the bottom side, and it's, you can't understand. It's just, you know, it's just a bunch of nothing. It's without, you cannot understand what's happening on the top side. Beloved, we're looking at the work of God from the bottom side. And I agree that it don't make sense to me. And some of the things that's happening in the world, some of the things that's happening in Zion, it's hard to grasp. But this we know, that God Himself is in charge. Beloved, when it's all brought together in not only in the world, but also in the church of God, it's going to be a beautiful picture. It's going to glorify God. And Jesus Christ in heaven has all things put under His feet. And He's been made head over all things to the church. And since the church is representing the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, and they are, the church is the representative of Christ on earth, Jesus Christ is going to take care of His church until His second coming, because it has a work to do, because it represents the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, and He's going to take care of it. Therefore, by faith, we trust Him, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By faith we have access to this great store of grace wherein we stand. We have access to it. So God has blessed His people with the gift of faith that they might enter into and receive what He has done for them, and they might trust Him and therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. that his child might be steadfast, that they might be secure, that they might be safe as they trust God. We can trust God for salvation. We can trust God to get us to heaven. But beloved, we can also trust God to take care of us as we make our pilgrimage in the world. Because surely if he loved us enough to give his son to die for us, does he not love us enough to take care of us while we make our pilgrimage here? Can we not trust him? If I trust him for the welfare of my soul and my eternal estate, can I not trust him for my temporal passage through this world? Yes, we can. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand some of the problems developing in the Church of God. But I do know this, that Jesus Christ sees it from a different perspective than I do. And therefore, I can trust him with the outcome. Not only with the outcome of my life, but also with the outcome of this world and for the outcome of the Church of God. Because he's the one that is up there in heaven, ruling over all. And we can trust him. Been scattering, but I trust you was able to get a blessing out of, I know you got a blessing out of Brother Timothy's message. What a glorious thought to think that the God of heaven would actually purpose to bring salvation to those that had defiled themselves and rebelled against him. But he did that in order to glorify himself and to take us out of our low state and lift us up to sit among princes glorifies God.